After reflecting upon those who have rejected both himself and his message, Jesus is presented to us today as offering thanks and praise to God and gaining consolation in his heart for those who do accept and receive him. In his prayer of thanksgiving, we're giving a glimpse of yet again another aspect of the uniqueness of the person of Jesus the Christ in relationship to God the Father. He says, "No one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and anyone to whom they wish to reveal." And they reveal this insight, this knowledge, to the little ones, to the childlike, to the child. Now, before we think this is, oh, child, you know, we think about children. What is the primary attribute of a child that Jesus is truly celebrating as regards the disposition of those who acknowledge him, recognize him, and place their trust in him? Is it innocence? Now, you know as well as I that children have their way of getting into mischievous things. Is it ignorance? How many times have we been astonished by their insightful responses and thoughtful questions? Is it helplessness? You know as well as I, in war-torn areas, in poverty-stricken areas of the world, the survival instincts and the craftiness of young children surviving in those situations speaks for itself. No. What is it? It's trust. A child naturally extends their trust to a person who's given charge over them unless that trust is violated. They will entrust themselves to that person's guidance and example. They naturally give themselves over to their parents' guidance and their older siblings. And of course, this is the attribute of the child before they become haughty in adulthood, as they grow into adulthood and become haughty with a sense of self-reliance, as if they've got it, you know? Such a wonderful thing. And this is what the Lord himself is celebrating. And he himself modeled this for us. In Gethsemane, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus shows you and I that truly being alive in the Spirit, being able to truly know the Father and the kingdom therein, and the dynamics of that relationship therein, requires trust above and beyond everything else. Yes, it does entail honest, heartfelt, sincere communication. As Jesus models in the Garden of Gethsemane, he spoke straight from the depth of the human heart he assumed. But when it ultimately came down to it, he says, "But Father, not what I will, what you will be done." St. Paul speaks to us and says that you and I are not in the flesh, we are in the Spirit. And therefore, those who are in the Spirit can expect the same results, the same fruitfulness of life that Jesus manifests as he was establishing the reign of God in the hearts and minds of human beings, from the eldest to the youngest on earth. Anyone who would give him a hearing and with a disposition of openness and receptivity would recognize that Jesus indeed spoke like none e'er before. He worked signs and wonders that were beyond counting if we are to go and accept the writing and record of the Gospel of St. John. As he concludes it, he says, "This has been placed before you. It's been written down. Not everything has been written, but what has been written by an eyewitness. His testimony is trustworthy and true. But what has been written so that you might believe that he is the Son of God." To attempt to have written everything Jesus said and did would not be enough books on the earth to contain them. So what does it look like to be alive in the Spirit, to be guided by the Spirit, to embrace and allow Jesus to have kingship over us. We gain insight from what Jesus says in this gospel. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened in this life, come, learn from me. I'm meek and I'm humble of heart. Take my yoke upon you. It is easy. My burden, it's light. A familiar word. Most of us have heard that gospel. How many times have I used that gospel when I've gone to anoint the sick at Riverbend and even here in the community? There are three different gospels they give us, and I oftentimes will choose that one. A yoke. Not something we see in common day today, but very much so in the time of Christ. And even maybe even to in the world, in certain parts of the world, a yoke is still employed to be put on the necks of beasts of burden, such as oxen. And it's an instrument that enables two creatures to do the labor, to do that work together. And it's in such a way that one can't get in front of the other. They have to walk side by side. Jesus is affirming you and I. He's telling us, I know that you're burdened. It may be emotional. It may be physical. It may be social. I know. Hence the beautiful prophecy of Zechariah. Behold your king riding on the foal of an ass. A donkey. I always keep that in my mind. If I remember the words at the retreat, my retreat before ordination for the priesthood, the priest was cautioning us. He said, now, gentlemen, he was affirming us and cautioning us. He said, when you go into the parish as a newly ordained priest, most of you, you're going to have a pastor over you. He's going to have been in the vineyards a long time before you. When you go in there, you're going to be the next best thing is sliced bread. The people will celebrate you. Everything you say, oh, Father, it's so wonderful. Realize that your pastor hears these same accolades being given to you. Take the time to pastor your pastors, to affirm them as well. But don't make the mistake that that donkey made when he was entering in as Jesus was entering into Jerusalem on Holy Thursday. All the hoopla, all the fanfare. Hosanna, Hosanna. That donkey actually thought the fanfare was for him. He didn't realize it was the one riding on his back. So I always keep that in my mind. I don't believe I shared it with you. I would go annually in the summertime to Hansville, Alabama, to the shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament at the temple that Mother Angelica was given divine insight about an inspiration and providence to construct. It's amazing. The second largest monstrance in the world. And you go in there, and it's amazing. But I would preach the mass for the nuns who are cloistered. And one time I was there, there were two priests from Nigeria. One was named Father Francis. And after we entered into the sacristy, after the mass, the shorter one, Father Francis, said to me, my dear brother, God has endowed you with great wisdom and eloquence of speech. Even now, I am filled with emotion as I'm thinking of what you have said today. May I embrace you? Well, needless to say, I was taken aback at such words. And I said, yes, you may, but everything he said about me was true of himself. But what was the man responding to? What was he saying? What was he affirming? That was how he experienced the Spirit moving in me. And he was able to accept it and affirm it in me because he had the disposition of the child. Open, anticipating the goodness of the Lord in his goodness is communicated to us without fail in word and in sacrament. To be guided by the Spirit. When Jesus called the apostles to come and follow him in John chapter 6, when he says, come and follow, when a rabbi, of course, Jesus was more than the rabbi. He was the Son of God. When they called, they would say, come and follow me. Come and follow me. So they could share their teaching. But more than that, be my companion. Come with me for life. And in that disclosure, what is happening? Jesus is giving the disciple, the teacher is giving the follower their worldview. Remember, Jesus, the eternal Word of God became flesh, the wisdom of God. He alone can disclose the depth of who God truly is. St. Paul says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He enables us to know how God thinks, how God views creation, how he views you and I, how he sees us, what is his feeling toward you and I? What does Jesus have to say about marriage? What does he have to say about children, possessions, wealth, our relationship to government and politics? What does he have to say about poverty? What does he have to say about the widow, the orphan, those who are disenfranchised, who are on the margins? What is his disposition? You see? To follow Jesus is to take that yoke. Take his perspective. Follow his lead. Walk with him. Allow him to be in the midst of the toil, which all of us are under something. This is a clarion call to the whole world. Come to me. And when we come, it's so refreshing because he speaks to you and I as one who knows the depth of our condition. And he speaks to us also as one who knows the reality of what can be even in the midst of the toil and what is yet to come. For he knows the Father. And it's the Spirit that goes forth. I'm embracing this invitation. Tomorrow morning, I'll be leaving with the chickens to go to West Virginia. We can come to know the Father in Christ by attending to his word, meditating upon it, listening to it. Seeking out those who have come to know the Lord even much better than us. I will be doing that. These scholars, these guys know the scriptures far better than I. They know the original language of Hebrew and the Greek that the texts were written in. They can offer these things to me and I'm going to sap it up like a sponge. And I'll come back and share. Hopefully I'll make sense of it for you. But how do you find rest? That's what the Lord is inviting us to, rest. How do you and I find rest in our times? When's the last time you cut yourself off from these technologies, these cell phones, smartphones? Trust me, you're not going to miss anything. I've done it before. It's hard. But once you cut it off, you know, it's an interesting thing. When you turn it on, maybe if it's an hour later, voice messages are waiting for you. Text messages, everything we were perusing on those smartphones are right there waiting for you. You've lost nothing. It's all right there waiting, even when you power them off. But what do you gain for yourself? An opportunity to be cut away from things that are important, but so that the main thing might govern. And once we attend to that one reality, the relationship with God, everything else comes into prayer. You gain fuller perspective and you're more able to discern, wow, this is what I need to be doing with that situation or in this relationship with this person. Maybe your struggle right now, your source of anxiety and stress is in the area of finances. Maybe you're underemployed or unemployed. It may be health. It may be work. You know, take the advice of Father Solanus Casey. Solanus Casey, a Capuchin friar, a Franciscan Capuchin friar. He was the porter of the monastery. He just opened the door. He's one who chose to yoke himself, to follow Jesus, to place his trust in the Lord for everything. And we would tell people when he would be praying with them, he said, look, when you pray, he says, thank God in advance for what it is you're looking for from him, what you're asking for. Thank him in advance. In so doing, you put the Lord on the spot. And he'll provide. What is necessary for you and I to encounter the Lord and to gain such bountiful blessing? Trust. He wants to disclose so much. He wants to give so much. But we have to approach him like that child. Just trust him. Trust him. Doesn't take intellectual prowess and worldly sense of it or any type of high achievement in this world. No, just be the child that he wants us to be. Believe him and receive him as he is. And thank him in advance for what you might give voice to, and even what you don't even give voice to, what I don't give voice to, and allow him to provide as he alone can. He's inviting us to rest. Today, one day out of seven, is a day to rest in Christ, rest in God. How will you choose to do it today? I've already got some ideas. And I'm going to act on at least one of them. And I'm going to take my lead from Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. God love you.